Well, welcome to Local Matters. We are honored today to have Scott Williams, the Chief Operating Officer of Cookeville Regional Medical Center, with us. Scott, it's great to have you back on the program.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and I really appreciate the invitation.
Well, it's always good to talk about some of the things going on at CRMC. We're going to talk today particularly about an educational matter of living wills. But before we do that, not everybody may know you, so tell everybody a little bit about your background and how you got to CRMC.
Okay. I'm originally from Johnson City. I grew up there and received a bachelor's of nursing from East Tennessee State University and worked at what was then Mountain States Health Alliance, Johnson City Medical Center, for approximately 22 years, and in that process, getting my master's in nursing and my master's in healthcare administration, did a stint in administration in Alabama for about 9 years, and then had the opportunity to come back to Tennessee, to Cookeville, and have been here for a little over 5 years now and really enjoyed it. It reminds me a lot of Johnson City in Northeast Tennessee. And the growth and the friendliness of the people is just very comfortable for me and my family, and we really enjoy being here.
Well, that's great. It's I've known you since you came, and it's just been a lot of fun to interact with you. Well, you serve in an important role at the medical center, but it's a role people may not understand. So, what does the chief operating officer do?
Well, in the words of Paul Korth, I run the hospital. My major role, because my background is in nursing, and I do have a healthcare management background as well, is that I look at the daily operations of the hospital, and I help our senior leadership take the strategic initiatives that our board of trustees put together along with senior leadership. And I take those strategic initiatives and I put them into daily operations in order that the hospital can serve the community appropriately and succeed. So that's what I do on a daily basis. You can put it in naval terms. Paul Korth is the captain of the ship. I'm the XO. Yeah. So that's sort of a different way of putting it, but I help run the daily operations. I'm the major problem solver in the hospital to make sure that things run smoothly.
And I think that is an accurate portrayal of the chief operating officer. You do run the place in a lot of ways. So that's and it's a pretty complex organization, too. Talk a little bit about the complexities. You cover a lot of counties. And you cover several states.
Well, we do. We actually cover multiple states, multiple counties. Our service area is over 350,000 people in 14 counties. And a lot of people don't realize how complex a hospital is. Is that, and you know, just one way to point out how complex it is that we are next to nuclear power. Next to nuclear power plants, we are the most regulated industry in the country. So we have more people looking over our shoulder, watching what we do and how we do it, than any other industry in the country aside from nuclear power. So it's very complex. There's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of different people all the way from housekeepers to physicians to therapists to nurses that we have to make sure that all their efforts are coordinated in order to deliver really good patient care, excellent patient care for our community here in Cookeville.
I know it's complex, and you're a big shop. There are a lot of people who work there, aren't there?
We have over 2,500 employees, and I will tell you that it continues to surprise me. The first time I drove up for an interview here, I was amazed at the size and complexity of the hospital for this community. And it continues to both amaze me and very much please me that we can provide this level of complexity and advanced medicine and healthcare for the citizens of the Upper Cumberland. It's something that is very unique. I don't think you could find another community of similar size that would have an advanced facility such as this in their community.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you've got several thousand employees. So.
2,500 employees. We have over 250 medical staff and growing. We still continue to aggressively recruit our medical staff and with multiple subspecialties. We're doing very complex medical care in our cancer center with our cardiology program, with our vascular program that's growing significantly, cardiac surgery, general surgery. We've got a lot of complex things that we do because we see very sick patients here. We often have residents that come out of Nashville that start working for us, and they are surprised at the complexity of our patients here in our community and the needs that are in our community for advanced healthcare.
Well, it's a complex subject, obviously, and a lot of science, a lot of technology involved. We'll come back and talk about some of the technical sides of the hospital and some of the challenges you face with technology and other things. But this is a program on education matters. And so I wanted today particularly to focus with you a little bit on something that has a lot of different names, but is typically referred to as a living will. So talk a little bit about what a living will is and why it's important to the hospital and to the patient and to the family.
Well, Bob, I really believe that this is a very important topic that everyone, both young and old, need to have a focus on, need to be aware of, need to be able to talk about, because as a nurse, and I spent many years of my nursing career in a trauma ICU and a surgical ICU, I've seen patients and their families struggle hard with the reality that life was ending. And what do we do? At the end of that time, what life-saving measures do we continue? What measures do we cease? What do we do with dad or granddad or mom or grandma, even a young person? We often feel that I don't want to talk about it right now because it's not my time, or it's going to be a long time before I pass away. Well, the reality is we're all humans. We are very resilient individuals, very resilient beings, but at the same time, we're tremendously fragile. And as a result, life can take very strange turns. And there was a good example of a young man that worked for a sports news organization here recently. That 34-year-old that died of pneumonia was getting ready to get married, had his whole life in front of him, and pneumonia took him from us. And so the idea of having a living will and durable power of attorney is a very important topic for everyone to talk about. And it's not just because this is what you need at the end of your days, but it's also a conversation about how you want to be treated as a human being throughout the care of a particular illness, and also how you want to be treated at the end of life if you have a terminal illness. It's really important that we don't gloss over this, that we don't say we're going to talk about it tomorrow, that it is very uncomfortable to talk about someone's passing. But at the same time, as a healthcare provider, I want to emphasize to everyone that you are doing your family a favor.
A real favor, no question.
By having this conversation with your kids or your parents or all those that are around you and love you, your spouse, your significant others, anybody that's going to be involved in your care in the event that there is a serious illness or accident.
Yeah, a car wreck can
wreck.
You can fall at a football game.
You can fall off your ladder. It's a football injury. We had a significant car accident yesterday that involved both young and old. And the bottom line is your family needs to understand what you want as a patient when that time comes. And the thing you've really got to remember is it's your decision. It's your body. You have control until you're unconscious and you don't have control.
And then somebody's got to make a decision, and it's sure better if they've had a conversation or they have a written document.
That's right. And that's what a living will is. A living will is a written document that says, here's what I want in the event of a terminal illness, in the event of a serious illness, in the event that I can't communicate my wishes. That's what a living will is. And we provide several forms of living will documents at the hospital, and you can pick them up for free. You don't have to be admitted to the hospital. You can literally come by and we'll hand you a copy.
And the foundation has copies?
The foundation has copies.
Foundation.
Absolutely. And we can even sit down, and we've got folks that can talk to you about what it is, how it works, how you can fill it out. And I want you to understand something. This is not a contract that is set in stone and you have to live with this for the rest of your life, because, again, it's you. It's your decision. It's your wishes. You can even verbally, as long as you're awake, alert, and oriented, you can verbally change your mind anytime you want to. But at that same time, if you can't communicate, here's something that says to your family, that says to your healthcare providers, that says to your loved ones, this is what I want.
And it's really helpful. My wife and I have both done the living will. We've done the five wishes document, which is one that the medical center uses, I know. And it even gets down to things like, do you want music playing in background? And if so, what kind of music? And I joked with my wife that I wanted Willie Nelson playing in the background. And then I changed my mind about a year ago and told my doctor to take that part out of my living will.
Okay. And you can make those kind of decisions all the way down to that point. The five wishes document is a great document. We have that. We can share it. Really, it goes over five different things that you as a patient would wish for. Who's the person that I want to make care decisions for me when I can't? In other words, who's going to make those important decisions for me when I can't make those decisions? The second one is the kind of medical treatment I want or I don't want. There are certain things that, for example, when you have heart surgery, there's certain things that we do or that we have in place in order to take care of a heart surgery patient. But we might not want to do those things with a cancer patient. So saying what you want or don't want is a very important piece of your five wishes. The next one is how comfortable do I want to be? And that talks about not only pain medicine, but do you want to be in hospice care? Do you want to have music playing? Would you like to be at home? All those sorts of things that creates a comfortable environment for you.
This is Local Matters. We are talking to Scott Williams, the Chief Operating Officer at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk a little bit more about the living will.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Well, we are back. We are talking to Scott Williams from Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we're talking about a topic that is a bit uncomfortable for some people in that it is sort of the living will or the end-of-life wishes that someone might have, and yet it's so important, isn't it, Scott, to get this done while you're still in a comfortable frame of mind?
Very much. You need to be in a situation where you're reasonably healthy, or that you can think through things in a non-stressed environment. In other words, you really don't want to wait until until you know things are going bad. You really want to talk about them right now, because this is where you sit and you think to yourself, this is really what I want. This is where I want to be. This is who I want by my side. And, you know, going down the road when you're trying to make decisions, and many times people are making last minute decisions to say, I wish I had more time. I wish I had more time to make these decisions.
Right.
And things get missed.
Yep.
So do it while you have time to relax, think it through, be thoughtful, be deliberate, be decisive.
And you can enter this in your medical record, and the hospital can have a copy. Your doctor can have a copy.
You need to make multiple copies of this. You need to share it with all your healthcare providers. You need to share it with the hospital. You need to give copies to all your family members, even the ones that might show up that you never see. But if you get in the hospital, they're going to show up and say, oh, I'm here. They still need to have that so they understand, here's where we are, here's what we're going to do, and this is a decision that I've made thoughtfully, consciously, with the support of my family. So that's very important to do, and share that information. Don't be afraid to share that information and keep the copy. And again, if you change it, okay, fine. Take a blank form, change it, pass it out again. No big deal. And take the old one, you know, just ask them for the old one and tear it up. Always date it. Now, with a living will, one thing that's very important is that you have to have two witnesses. And one of those witnesses is someone that you don't know. So we can do that at the hospital. We can sign that witness at the hospital for you. But remember, a living will, the five wishes is a document. It's more of a statement from you saying, this is what I want, folks. The living will itself is almost truly a legal document,
right,
and it can be enforced in court. And that's why you need to have the two witnesses, one of whom you don't know, and you can sign that document, and that is a very legal, proper document. Another piece of documentation, another legal document that you can get, or something that you can get that I highly encourage, is a durable power of attorney. That individual, through a durable power of attorney, you can designate a durable power of attorney for healthcare to help manage you in your healthcare environment if you feel that you can't manage it yourself. Also, you can get a durable power of attorney for financial, and they can oversee your financials. And you can sit down and talk to a local attorney about that. There are many attorneys here in town that would be happy to sit down and go over that with you. Or again, you can come by the hospital or the foundation. We'll be happy to help you with that.
It's really important that folks do it. And I've served on the ethics committee at the hospital and have seen people and heard about people who just got to town late after an accident had occurred with someone else, and they say, oh, I wish I knew what they wanted. And that's what those documents are all about.
Well, and don't assume that, oh, I can sit down and talk to my wife or my husband, and they'll know. What if you're together and something happens?
Right.
What if it's a house fire? What if it... There are so many different circumstances where you need to have your entire family and maybe even your extended family well aware of this, because, again, you never know what the circumstances could be.
And it's, again, it's an easy document to do. It takes a little bit of thinking, but it's a great conversation between you and significant others in your family. Anything else you want to talk about on that? Because I want to talk about the time of year we're in and immunizations and flu season. And
I would just say that if anybody has any questions about living will, please feel free to contact the hospital, either by email or through our website or giving the hospital a call, and we'll be happy to help you with that. You can also talk about living will with any of your healthcare providers that you visit. But again, the hospital's always available to talk with you and help you with this if you need that help.
And your doctors will be happy too. Even your tax specialists will be able to give you some advice on it. Well, Scott, let's change gears a little bit. It's the winter season and flu is bad this year. Talk about immunizations. Talk about things that people ought to be doing now from an advisory side. What advice would you give people today, both for themselves and maybe their children?
Well, folks, if you let me tell you, as a healthcare provider, as somebody that is at the hospital almost every day, the flu season is real, it's serious, and you need to take it serious. If you haven't had your flu shot, go get it. Go get it right now. There are some parts of the country, including Northeast Tennessee, that are seeing epidemic proportions of flu. It's just out of control. And I will tell you that the flu is a very, very serious disease. It can affect young as well as old. I just mentioned earlier in the broadcast about a young man that is a sports broadcaster in their 30s that succumbed to the flu. And it went from flu to pneumonia, and he subsequently died. The issue here is the flu shot is not entirely successful at preventing flu. There are multiple things you need to do in order to prevent from having the flu. Number one is getting your flu shot. Number two is washing your hands more than you can ever imagine. If you touch a person, if you shake hands, if you go to a restaurant, if you use that hand sanitizer, wash your hands. I know that some folks are sensitive to the soap and their hands dry out like mine does, but you can get some lotion. Wash those hands. The other thing that you've got to do that's very important is keep your hands out of your nose, out of your eyes, out of your mucous membranes, because you're transferring that virus from your hands inside your body. So be careful about doing that.
And I am terrible at that.
And I will tell you that is what's even worse is those of you with grandkids, your grandkids love to grab you by the face. They love to play with you. And they've got snots and sniffles and all sorts of diseases. They've been at school all day, and you've got to be careful of that. And you got to make sure that you keep everybody's hands clean. You keep your hands clean. And for those that are particularly susceptible, that are immune compromised, or they have chronic diseases, wearing a mask is a good idea as well when you're out in public, because that cough, that sniff, walking by somebody at the store, that could get you the flu. So if you feel that you're immune compromised, or if your medical provider is telling you that, hey, you've got to take special precautions, a mask may be necessary for you as you go around town. But please, please, please be very cognizant of the flu. It's a very serious disease.
And the hospital is pretty full right now, including folks that have that disease.
It is very full, and we are seeing lots of patients every day in the emergency department. And it is a serious, serious illness when you get it, and it can very rapidly deteriorate into a life-threatening situation.
And that's an important education matter for the Upper Cumberland. We need to stay healthy. And Scott, it's been great to have you here with us. We have been talking to Scott Williams, the Chief Operating Officer at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And Scott, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all that you do.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on today.